All right, so the boys at South Park did it again. A couple weeks ago, they brought back their super friends, and the super friends are Jesus Christ, Buddha, and the Prophet Muhammad. And they depicted them, but this time they depicted the Prophet Muhammad not literally. They depicted the Prophet Muhammad disguised in a bear suit. So you really didn't see the Prophet Muhammad. And yet still, there was a crazy Muslim group in New York City that said, well, we're not threatening to kill him. We're just making them aware of the reality that they might be killed. So Comedy Central said, you know what? We're gonna censor that episode. So that's what brings Comedy of the Defense to mind. I think we're pretty safe. I don't think we're going to be doing the Quran, the musical, anytime soon.
We're offensive in so many ways, but not in that particular way.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 179, Comedy That Offends.
Let's be frank about the Muslims. The time for speaking plainly has begun. They all bow down to Mecca. They're wonderful as hecka. They really are an awful lot of fun.
Reed Martin and I got together last week right before a rehearsal of the non-RSC production of The Complete World of Sports Abridged to talk about offensive comedy and how we sometimes manage to offend without even trying to.
They practiced modern medicine when the Western world was still in the Dark Ages.
Now, I think the closest we get is Let's Be Frank About the Muslims in the Western Civilization show. And that was it was a pre-9/11 show. So yeah. There was a whole thing about Oklahoma City, and when that happened, everybody goes, oh, it's a Muslim, it's a terrorist. And it turns out, oh, it's a white Christian guy. What do you know? And so we made hay about that, and that's not quite so funny anymore.
Yeah, sadly, bringing down the World Trade Center trumps the Oklahoma City bombing, sadly. So the Muslims win again.
They invented the zero, and then they trumped Oklahoma City.
They invented the coffee that you're drinking right now.
Really? This coffee's older than it looks.
It is. But that was the point of Do Let's Be Frank About the Muslims. We were frank about the positive achievements that they've made. But at the same time, I believe we called them towel heads. You know, we have our PC cake and eat our bad racist joke too.
Well, you did say towel head, but you were wearing a bear suit, so it was okay.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. South Park makes its, you know, that's its brand, you know, if you want to think about it that way. That's their thing, is to go out and to offend, to push the buttons of everybody, and nobody is safe. That's certainly not what we do, and yet we end up kind of doing it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. They're much braver than I, but...
Except Comedy Central then said, and I think Trey and Matt... You know, I call them that like I know them, but you know, those guys, you know, they said, well, all right, we don't want anybody hurt. And if these jerks are going to come over here, you know, steal our women and use our freedom of speech to call down a fatwa on somebody else, then all right, then we'll take discretion will be the better part of valor.
I guess our religious fanatics were in England. And they were Christians,
right,
who were protesting the fact that we were doing a comedy show about the Bible, although the one stumbling block was they had never actually seen the show or read the show or knew anything about it. So they were organizing protests outside the theater. Don't go see the show. And then our actors said, well, what is it particularly that offends you about this? It's kind of an irreverent, affectionate retelling of the Bible. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. Well, why don't you come in and watch it?
Right.
And then they come in and watch it and go, oh, you know what? No, this is fine. Well, thank you.
Yeah, what the hell was all the fuss about? They say, oh, you're insulting the Prophet Muhammad. I don't think so. I mean, I think Muhammad, Jesus, all these guys, if they're as great as everybody says they are, they could take a little joking.
One would think.
I think you're insulting the followers, the blind, lack of sense of humor followers. And that's the thing. We end up insulting people without even knowing about it. The Bible, we knew just the idea of us doing the Bible show would be edgy in certain circles. And so we bent over backwards to not make fun of people's religions. It's only just to be a celebration of the Bible, like all of our shows are celebration. But then we sort of, the pendulum swung the other way in the Millennium show, because we were singing, and oh, listen to the that music is so beautiful. And then you listen to the lyrics, you go, holy crap, what do these guys say?
Yeah, some religious people who were fine with the Bible didn't like that. about every 10 minutes in the Millennium Show, the church is intolerant and the world is run by a handful of wealthy white men. That pushed a few buttons.
That's the one thing. That's the one constant throughout 1,000 years of world history. Well, and even my mom would, you know, just she her favorite song in the Millennium, well, was the duet that me, that Dee and I did. But then, understandably. But then her next favorite song was Heavenly Bodies.
She's the one female of a certain age who liked it. A lot of females go, oh, a song about that? No.
Well, she says, oh, I'm not even listening to the lyrics. I just think the music's pretty.
Well, good for her.
And you're singing.
Well, very good for her. She's the one.
Yeah, well, I think that just proves how much her hearing is going, but still.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The other thing is that we definitely offend people in the Bible show because we start out the show in wearing nothing but fig leaves. So that's pretty offensive.
Nobody needs to see that. And I think there's stuff coming up in the sports show that will be not quite that revealing, but more revealing than the audience will want to see. But I think...
I'm working on my sit-ups even as we speak.
Good. That's funny. It looks like you're just sitting here at this table.
I'm crunching.
Oh. Isometrics. But I think we've said this before. I think our politics probably offend... Yeah. More people than our religion, because we tread pretty lightly on religion. To be honest, we tread pretty lightly on the politics, but we're left of center a bit.
Yeah.
And some people who are very right-wing without a sense of humor take offense, and we go, well, you know, it's our show. That's what we find funny. Write your own show.
Write your own show. I mean, it seems like for three or four weeks running, I was answering emails and apologizing here in the podcast about, things that I've had to say, things that I've said here in the public, in the podcast. I referred to you Republican jerks, you know, who say, oh, Hollywood and show business people are don't have family values. And I had to apologize for saying Republican because, usually the jerks are Republican. They're not always, but usually.
In our opinion,
they're all. And I think you show me, let's put together some lists. I think it's pretty much going to come down. I grant you Joe Lieberman, but who the hell knows what he is?
Well, I have street cred on this issue. I come from, yeah. I'm one in a, well, I am somewhere I went to Berkeley and made a left. But I come from about 4 or 5 generations of staunch Republicans. My parents, my siblings, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to swear in our house. You just have to say FDR. That's like, you know, and right. Discussions around the house about under the Nixon administration, oh, we're going off the gold standard. This is going to be terrible, you know. So clearly.
Pretty heady crowd you hung out with.
It was a twisted childhood, let's face it.
That explains so much. That this is your rebellion. This is your, we're both in our rebellious teenage years as we approach. Well, let's not talk about what age we're approaching. There was that other guy, the guy in San Luis Obispo, the homeschool teacher who was offended by all the homosexual references we put into the Shakespeare show.
Boy, that guy saw homosexual references that were not ever intended consciously or subconsciously, and he wrote us a letter. Our regular listeners know. So, yes, he was offended by things that were in his own head and not really in the script. He was making, this is a gay reference. I go, man, you pay a lot of attention to stuff that we don't.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's an anti-gay Republican senator who just came back from the Bahamas with a rent boy.
Austin Titchener, address those letters to Austin.
Send the emails to... and then I had to... What was the other thing? Oh, I had to apologize for... I made a short bus joke. I guess I made it... Not even a joke. I think I made a some sort of offhanded short bus reference and got an email saying, really? Really? You have to make fun of the mentally challenged? I didn't realize... first of all, it was a joke.
And second of all, no, he didn't have to. He wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted to. It's just... Yeah, it's a default, and it's a character flaw on my part. But, you talk for 20 minutes, for a week, for over 3 years, to see if you don't say some things that piss people off.
Hi, I'm Jonah Holland. I'm with Lewiskin Botanical Garden, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
We got fantastic feedback to some feedback this week. The letter that we mentioned that we got from the homeschool teacher in San Luis Obispo didn't appreciate the supposedly all gay references, the millions of gay references, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of gay references that are now in the new Shakespeare Abridged Revised. And I got this email from Jeffrey Anderson, who writes, "Dear Austin and the rest of the RSC, although I have sadly never actually seen you perform any of your shows live, I do have the DVD of the Shakespeare in America shows and have listened to the CD of the Bible show. I love everything I've seen and heard of the Reduced Shakespeare Company and have been listening to the podcast from day one. Then I listened to episode 174, Brushes with Greatness, and boy, howdy, that letter you received was ridiculous. It really was a jaw-dropping moment of unbelievability. As a member of the Gay Bear community, I felt like I should respond to the letter. What is he talking about? I'm sure Shakespeare Abridged Revised could have not changed that much since the DVD was recorded. If you made a reference to Lady Gaga, it would only be a pop culture reference, not a gay reference, even though us gays can still flame out when her music starts playing. If a gay reference he's thinking of is the guys kissing during Romeo and Juliet, well, that's because there are no women in the RSC, and even back in Shakespearean time, the women were played by men. The joke in those cases are even extremely mild and completely straight. It's about the awkwardness of two straight men kissing. Beyond that, any sexual reference that would have shown up comes straight, in quotes, from the Shakespearean text and is referencing straight sex, not gay sex. As someone who is gay and has a dirty mind from time to time, I cannot see any way that there is any gay innuendo. As for the bear references, I'm sorry, but I can't see any of you as being husky, hairy, and homosexual. Not even slender, hairy, and homosexual. The complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised is suitable for anyone, straight, gay, bisexual, young, and old. Okay, maybe not to you. A Gay Bear RSC fan, Jeffrey Anderson." Thanks for that great email, Jeffrey, and thanks for watching our backs, so to speak. If you have any feedback, please send us an email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com.
Let's hear it for homos today. We're enlightened now, so it's okay.
It's impossible not to tick. If you're not ticking some people off, you're not doing it right. And that's something in our shows, too. You know, oh, I don't know about that. Well, if you're not going to offend anybody, it's so bland. Yeah. What's the point?
Then you're Jay Leno. You know, then you're... I mean, that's the point of comedy.
Oh, no. Now you're going to get letters from Jay Leno fans. No, then you're Jack Parr. No, I don't know. Ernie Kovacs. I don't know. Something.
To the extent that I give a shit, yeah, I'm Team Coco for all that.
There you go.
Yeah. But that's sort of what comedy does. Comedy isn't that the function of comedy, to be a prism to look at society, look at, you know, bust taboos to a certain extent?
Well, I was watching the rerun of the Mark Twain Awards at the Kennedy Center for humor, and George Carlin won posthumously, I think, last year, and they broadcast that. 7 dirty words. Well, it's intended to be provocative,
right?
But it's also making a point, and it's funny,
right.
Like Lenny Bruce,
yeah,
saying things. You're pushing the boundaries, but you're also making a point. These are words,
right?
Invest them with things, and so they're taboo. And, okay, but it's comedy's job to sort of push the limits, make people look at things in a different perspective. It's a word.
Yeah.
It's like what I say to the kids.
Right.
Yes, you can say that word at school, and you're going to get in trouble, and we're going to back up to school. However, if you drop a rock on your toe in the yard, nobody's around, it's a perfectly decent word to say.
In fact, it's one of the greatest words to say.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever it is. I remember Bill Oliver made us read a text at UC Berkeley.
Bill Oliver, one of the professors at Cal in drama.
Yeah, read Henri Bergson's essays on comedy and humor. The least funny and really least interesting essay I've ever read. But it did talk about we laugh at the forbidden. We laugh at things that are shocking. We go, because laughter is a kind of a nervous response to things. Like even in a horror movie, you're scared, then you're laughing at yourself for being scared. So it's a very primal thing, laughter. So, if we're not pushing some buttons, we're kind of not doing our jobs.
Yeah, you're pushing the limits, you're pushing buttons. Generally, comedy, I think, makes fun of the people in power, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's a leveler. It's a great leveler.
Yeah. And so to the extent that, you know, in the America show, who's ever president gets poked at. I remember when when Bush was president, we did a Bush press conference Q&A, and right. then Obama got elected, and it became an Obama press conference.
Right.
You know, poking fun at Obama, and these people go, "Oh my, you're making fun of Obama." Well, yeah, he's the president.
Yeah.
You know, they were just shocked that, and I think they were right wingers.
Yeah.
You know, who sort of, I guess, expect the GOP to get punched by comedians.
Yeah.
But if Obama's the president, he's the man.
He's the man. He's the guy you got to make fun of, and there's plenty to make fun about.
Yeah.
With him. Well, and I remember when we did the Obama press conference, we did it. We raised the question, because this is the question during the campaign: are you black enough, Mr. President? And Dominic, as Barack Obama, proved, air quotes, that he was black enough by dancing to Billy Paul's "Am I Black Enough for You?" and just doing this fantastic soul dance, because Dominic's a great dancer. I couldn't do it, but it was very.
Dominic is definitely black enough.
Yes, Dominic. Yeah, Obama's not, but Dominic definitely is. But then we had conversation among ourselves. Oh, is this racist? Is this racist? It's like, well, now if we start avoiding issues about his race, then we are being racist.
Because making decisions on what we'll cover or won't cover because of somebody's skin color isn't that the definition of racism?
And this is kind of the liveliest conversation we've been having in the dressing room for months now. Is this moment in the second act of the Shakespeare show when we bring up Ophelia? And your character is angry about the fact that we brought up this person from the audience, and you say, "Well, thanks for breaking up the group, Yoko."
Right, and it's always funny.
Yeah.
But if it's a person of Asian descent, and I say that, the audience does not find it so funny. They find it funny and just slightly offensive.
Well, and we went to Hong Kong, you know, and Singapore, and I don't want you to know much about those countries, but they're. They're lousy with Asian people.
Wait a minute, back really?
Yeah, I know.
Huh.
It's a crazy thing. But so then we were having this conversation about, oh, well, we shouldn't say that. Well, wait a second. Wait, we shouldn't say Yoko Ono because now people are going to think we're racists, or because we aren't racist, or they're having a racist response. What's the issue? Yeah. But then we debated it and we continued to debate it. And I know Mick Orff was very uncomfortable, about saying that thing. I understand why the N-word. You don't want to say the N-word, because the N-word has centuries of use as a racial epithet. I don't think anybody has ever gone to Japan and started yelling at, calling people Yoko Onos wantonly, you know?
You weren't with me that time, but but no, that's a specific person of a specific era.
And the point is, you're breaking up the group.
Yeah.
You're referring to a specific person.
Yeah. No, I enjoy it either way.
And Mick's discomfort was, he finally got around to articulating, or he finally managed to articulate what he meant, which was that it was really a better moment when Rippy's character was upset.
Yeah.
It made more sense that Rippy felt threatened. Rippy's character felt threatened enough to say, you're breaking up the group, Yoko, and then shoving her.
Right.
Shoving her, and then it turns up, whoa, you got stage rage, it turned into this whole moment. It didn't make more sense, but it still works. It's still a good line.
Well, Rippy's character plays most of the girls, and so he used to be the one who didn't want to do it, and so your character pulled up somebody to play Ophelia, so Rippy felt threatened. And I mean, it's been retweaked. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of more fun the other way.
Yeah.
We have a comedy that offends. We have had people walk out. I'd say it's school groups.
Yeah.
For some reason, it seems to be homeschoolers, which is a stereotype, but I'd say more than half the groups who walk out of our shows are homeschoolers. I don't know why that is.
Well, and I know we have a lot of homeschool podcast listeners and Twitter followers who are big fans, so it's not all homeschoolers by any stretch.
No. I mean, different people homeschool for different reasons, but if one of your reasons for homeschooling is to sort of insulate your kids from certain things, and you come see our show, and suddenly we're saying penis and foreskin. So, I mean, it's interesting. Like the new Vic, we edited the show a bit to make it appropriate for ages 11 and up.
Right.
But we don't write it to be a children's show.
No.
And I think if people don't read the materials and they think, oh, it's this funny little comedy dream, we're going to bring our kids.
Yeah.
Surprise. And maybe you're surprised and you need to go.
Well, and these are all teachable moments, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a parent bringing your kid to anything, seeing any kind of theater or television or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my kids watch the Disney Channel. Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go, boy, don't act like that. And if you ever get an acting job, don't act like that.
Okay.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your comedy that offends via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, highly offensive Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. You heard excerpts from Western Civilization, The Complete Musical Abridged, lyrics by Reed Martin and Austin Titchener, music by Nick Graham. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Yumi Crossfire. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jonah Holland at the Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden in Richmond, Virginia, our co-winner of the Cultural Arts Shorty Award. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 179/537 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And after a long night, looking at the sky, everybody needs a break, and so do I. So I go in my room, reach upon the shelf, grab my favorite magazine and myself. My Venus and Uranus. I'm in a trance. Maybe I have a chance.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.